Hello and welcome to holiday special of Info Under the Radar, the show where we share stories of festivals, cultures and traditions around them. Hello everyone, I'm your host Vishwajit.
And I'm Devendra.
Welcome to a very special holiday episode where we are not talking about any fancy intellectual topics, which we think we talk about. Not sure if anyone else believes that. So we are not talking about CRISPR. We are not talking about artificial intelligence or anything along those lines. Today, we are talking about festivals and cultures and traditions. And you might be thinking, hey, why do you guys have to talk about this? Who gives the authority to you to talk about this? No one. But we just thought you might not be interested in listening on next Monday about these intellectual topics, but rather something more chilled, something close to the holiday season, the feeling of festivities. And that's why we decided to not just talk between two of us, but rather invite people from around the world with different traditions and cultures and let them share their own traditions, their own festivals and things along those lines. So before we talk to our guests, Devendra, I would like to ask you, what were some of the festivals you enjoyed growing up?
I mean, apart from the ones that are common, I suppose, right? So like Diwali being the festival of light, Holi festival of colors, these are known. Raksha Bandhan was one that I was celebrated on a good scale around when I was growing up. So there's that one. And then, of course, it's hard to list all the other smaller festivals that go around. I would curb myself from doing that at the moment. But yeah, let's just assume that at least in summers, I remember more or less every other month, if you want, you can be a part of some festival. I'm not sure how good
that is. We
are
from
a
country of festivals, right? We have a lot of holidays.
Because then winters, we have another festivals, right?
Yeah.
So winters is basically we get people married. Which is a festival in itself.
So you mentioned Raksha Bandhan. I think that's the festival I realized talking to friends here is not necessarily known. I think the idea behind is nice. Some people refer to it as Rakhi. Maybe you want to tell us more about it.
Yeah. So what essentially happens these days is that your sister or your cousins would come and tie a very pretty looking thread around your wrist. And that just serves as a promise of that I'll protect my sister. And then I have to give her gift as well. So not that I have to, I mean, like it's kind of me to give gift to her, and she brings sweets and stuff. So that's what the tradition these days is.
So basically, a guy, in this case, you as a brother, is getting tied this thread and the sister,
on my wrist. Yes.
Right. And the sister is basically bringing this band called Rakhi and sweets and stuff, and she's getting gifts basically.
Easy, right? Like, and then the tradition around it is like there are two stories to it. One of them comes from the epic Mahabharata, wherein Lord Krishna cuts his finger, and then Draupadi, she tears a part of her sari, the robe that Indian women wear, and then ties around his finger, and that turns into a sacred thread. So that's one origin of it. There's another disputed, controversial, not so reliable, all of those words that you want to put it into disclaimer, but is still very much being taught and discussed in India, at least to me while I was growing up, is an historical account from 16th century where the queen of Chittor, place in my hometown, in my home state, she was a widow at the time and she wasn't able to defend her fortress, so she sends a bracelet to King Humayun, and then he comes and tries to rescue it. And then there are historical records that they say he was too late to protect it. Then there are other records where say that thing never happened, and so on and so forth. So I'm not sure how reliable that is. Still, if we take it just on the moral value of the things, it's kind of cool because Raksha Bandhan is essentially a Hindu festival, but Humayun essentially was a Mughal king, so Islamic origins. So I would just take it at that value. So these are two origin stories around it. Yeah.
Do you remember the most funny thing about around the time of Rakhi? For me, I don't know if you remember it, but it was almost always your crush trying to put Rakhi on you.
It's a very common thing. So you try your best to not go around them on the day. And the unfortunate part is it's usually in the same month where like the friendship day as well is. So you have to dodge two stones in the same month.
Yes.
Not to get friend zone and not to get like become the brother of the person you have a crush on. So
I think the interesting thing for me was that because I actually, it's just funny because I never calculated this as a kid. Of course, I knew it has Hindu origins and things, but actually never really looked at it from the religious lens. Because also in school, friends who were not Hindu, for example, and they were still tying this band on, you know, guys who doesn't matter their religion or ethnicity, whatever. And it was always super interesting to see, like when I grew up and then I realized, actually it is just a very Hindu thing to do. Yeah.
What about you? You come from the other end of the directional where I come from. I'm from the west of India. If people don't know northwest.
I'm not from the other end. Still, I'm from north central. I'm not coming from east.
I call it like to me that's east, right?
Oh wow, okay. Okay.
Because there's nothing more west than my state. If the thing that is more west than my state is where another country was born.
He's referring to Pakistan, by the way, and you guys know India, Pakistan. For me, well, to be honest, joking aside, culturally I think we are similar as a state. Actually, there are Diwali and Holi were really big, Raksha Bandhan, there are some other festivals like Janmashtami where you celebrate the birth of Lord Krishna. They were big. But I think the one which comes especially actually from my city, so not even from my state, it's called Ganga Mela. So Ganga is the river Ganges, which flows in my hometown of Kanpur in Uttar Pradesh. And there is a festival which is very simple. So if you look at it, it looks like people are celebrating Holi. But it has a very special origins. So the story goes that in 1942, Britishers told locals that you are not allowed to play Holi. So India was still under colony in early 40s. And that really hurted locals that you are not allowing us to celebrate one of our biggest festivals. And then some people, I think about 70 odd people, went against it and still played Holi just out of protest against this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Britishers took all of them into the prison. And then all the locals, especially there is a specific area in my hometown where people started celebrating this for next 7 days, just as a protest to show support to their friends who got into prison. They started celebrating this festival of color for 7 continuous days until all these people from the prison got released. So because of these interesting origins, this festival of Ganga Mela started getting, still is actually a big thing in my hometown where people play basically Holi. It's the same as Holi, but for 7 days. I think now we just have 1 day off in school in the city. There are other 6 days. There are only very few people are playing. And if you are playing for 7 days, people are really judging you that you have nothing else to do. But now things have changed. But it has a very beautiful story that it's not just a partying, but rather it represents like protest of Indians against Britishers almost.
I mean, this also goes to show around one thing, like you can like maim us, kill us, torment us for over 200 years, but you stop us from celebrating any festivals and within 4 to 5 years, you're out of the country.
I'm sure that was the reason.
Duh, of course. What else, right? But 1942 is what you mentioned. For people who don't know, 1947 is when India got its independence. So I'm not making facts here. I'm just stating facts.
No, that's I mean, of course, I think in general, not to go on tangent, but Kanpur was historically center of freedom fighters meeting and things like that. So a lot of people don't know the town because it's not a touristic place, but it's a very big city and has cultural significance as well. Before I start crying because I'm missing my hometown so much, I wanted to ask you another question. Since now you have been living outside India for 5-6 years now, roughly?
5
5 years, right? So how is it for you now, like around holiday seasons?
It's fun to see Christmas time. And I mean, that's all they've got more or less, right? Like that's their major festival throughout the year. So it's a good festive vibe around it. So I do enjoy it once in a while, but I'm not genetically programmed to be excited when this time of the year comes around. Mm-hmm. So it's more of like, how do you say, I given into that social resonance of it. Mm-hmm. Like if everyone's excited, I should do something. I'm doing something on Christmas Eve. Like I celebrated it with my friends last year, mm-hmm. in a very Italian way, which is mm-hmm. amazing if you haven't. But this year is again just with other friends here, we'll be celebrating it again. So I do try mm-hmm. to be like a part of it, but there's no inner vibe in me because I haven't been brought up that way.
But isn't that true for you in general? It's not
yeah,
about
that I don't have an inner
that you
vibe.
You don't have
yeah.
an inner vibe.
Yes. That's essentially me. There are people who are called life of the party. I am the sink of the party. I go and it suddenly turns into a
great
philosophical discussion.
You are doing a great justice to selling this podcast.
I have done it so far. Why would I not do it now? No. So there is of course that element of it that there is, you try to have some sort of social resonance, and which I feel is the emotion around many expats or immigrants who are living here. Mm-hmm. But then depending on the stage of life you are, it also changes a bit. Like right now I'm a student. So for me, it's a time where I try to cover in as much lectures that I missed during the time. And I try to get back on that. People who are working full time, mm-hmm. for them, it's maybe a chance to go to their home country, mm-hmm. or maybe travel a bit around Europe or US, wherever they are, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So it, of course, has nothing but advantages associated with it, mm-hmm. unless some people have described that going to family is a very tricky business for them. So that could be, okay, a little like, how do you call it? A little bit of a pinch on the side, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah, I think also in general, I guess, well, also in general, I get more cheerful than you. That's just a fact. So for
this
me,
is going to be edited out. I'm a very easy. Cheerful person.
You are. I think for me, I get excited in general about around Christmas time, just because I really like the, especially here in Germany with Christmas markets and everything. And I think it's just New Year is so close to Christmas that it kind of naturally just kind of flows into it. And of course, everyone celebrates New Year's, like we all celebrated New Year's growing up as well back in India.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then we hope you guys have found something interesting with what we shared about the festivals, more than the regular Holi and Diwali stories, which you guys know about, just so that we don't know about festivals in India or something. I want to mention that, of course, there are so Holi and Diwali is just the biggest festivals for Hindus, but then Eid is very big in India for the Muslim community. And of course, there is a section of society which is also Christian. So they also celebrate. Yeah. Christmas. And then of course, depending upon the region, like in South, they have their own festivals, like yeah. Pongal, etc. And then Onam. And then Northeast, they have their own festivals. If you go up, yeah. Sikhs, some of them have their own festivals. So, but we too, coming from the backgrounds, we have yeah. Diwali, Holi, Rakhi. These are the festivals we celebrated. So we wanted to shed light on them.
Are there any festivals that you would like to attend in general, like in India or outside India?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because just doing these recordings with people from all over, a lot of them also mentioned Carnival. And I think mm-hmm. that also I realized something I would like to attend because it just seems so much fun, minus the spread of coronavirus part. It seems a lot of fun and like a big party, I think. And it's just also so different in different countries, the concept of Carnival itself. So that would be something interesting. So of course, I live in Germany. The one in Cologne seems the most accessible one and the one which I definitely want to check out. But also the one in Venice is actually something also could be interesting. And the one just because I... Tomatina Festival, actually, because that's what I saw in a movie growing up. I forgot the name of the movie. It was some...
ZNMD.
Yeah, Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara, exactly. It was actually a pretty good movie, by the way. And there, actually, I saw that, yeah, about the first time as a teenager, yeah. that this festival in Spain, which is very similar to Holi in some ways, I guess. The only difference is you are throwing, instead of water color balloons, you are throwing tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Yeah.
That movie is essentially a really long Spain tourism ad.
Like, yeah, in a way. But still, Indians still like to just go to Switzerland. So I think they did not do the justice. Yeah. What about you?
From India, I think there's a, I forgot the name of the festival. In South India, they do something called as, in a festival, they do the snake boat racing, like the long boat racing.
I think in Kerala.
Yeah. So that, I have been to Kerala, but of course my timing wasn't right. So I couldn't attend that. I think it happens in backwaters as well. So which is something I would like to attend. In my own hometown, there is something called as Camel Fair, where there is camel trading happening. It's a huge as like place is occupied by a shit ton of camels. And then there is camel racing there. So that
camels
is
some, and racing does not seem to go well together in my head.
I mean, you'd be surprised how well that goes. Because they, those are the only animals, one of the few animals that can actually run on sand, like desert sand.
Of course.
So, so that, even like, it's hard for me to imagine as well. Like, this is what I would want to attend. Globally speaking, I don't know. I keep forgetting the name of this carnival, which is so unlike me. The nature of that, but still I would like to attend it. It's called the Burning Man Festival, I guess, near Texas or something.
The Burning
Man. Which happens
Man.
In, it happens in the middle of Texas or something. And it's
in Nevada, actually.
In Nevada. And it's,
but that's
it's
a different type of festival.
It's an entirely different type of festival. Yes.
Okay, okay. I did not know we are also talking about those types of festivals.
No, that is, see, that is analogous to carnival to me. Right? Carnival has more chilled, happy, that vibe. And that is just bizarre.
Nice. All right. Then on that note, I think we have shared enough of our chit-chat and the kind of festivals we would like to go. And so without further ado, we would like to thank some of our friends, our listeners who were kind enough to take their time to share interesting insights about their cultures, traditions, and the festivals they celebrate. So in no particular order, we have Alex, who has German and Polish roots, and she shared some very interesting insights on how Polish Christmas looks like. Then we have Molly and Tito from Egypt, where they talk about the month of Ramadan and the festival of Eid from the perspective of Egyptians and what do they miss when they're not able to celebrate those things, for example, living abroad. Then we have Michelle from Ecuador, who shares some very funny traditions, very popular in Ecuador around New Year's Eve, among many other things. Then we have Fatima, who is from Spain and have Moroccan roots. And there she shares not only about the festival she celebrates, but also how it was for her to celebrate those festivals growing up in a country where those festivals are not being celebrated, especially as a kid. And then lastly, we have Julia, who is from Germany, and she shares some fun traditions of German Christmas, New Year's Eve, and of course, everyone's favorite Oktoberfest. Not only that, she also talks about a very Bavarian festival called Maibaum. So thanks once again to all our guests. Enjoy this holiday special. So maybe you can just introduce yourself.
Okay, a quick summary. My name is Fatima. I was born in Morocco. I'm half Moroccan, half Algerian.
Yeah.
And my family moved to Spain when I was 4. So born in Morocco, raised in Spain. So half and half, let's say. And then moved to Germany a couple of years ago. So I studied in Spain and I had my bachelor, my master's and everything. And I moved here because the working situation in Spain is great.
Yeah, I heard.
So I'm here just as 90% of the Spanish people.
So as you were talking before before we started this endeavor of forcing you to record, basically, that you do not celebrate Christmas. So what are some of the festivals you celebrate?
Okay, so for us, I grew up Muslim, so we would celebrate, like, we have Ramadan, which is in 9th month of the moon calendar, of the Muslim moon calendar, and by the end of it, there's 3 days of Eid, which is like the end of this entire month of spiritual fasting and cleansing, and, you know, and then there's a big party, and a couple months later, there's Eid al-Adha, which is like the big, I would say it's the biggest Muslim festivity, which is the, I don't know how it's called in English, but it's Eid al-Adha, and it's the day that people, I mean, it's the Christmas of the Muslim people.
That's what I wanted to say, but then I thought, is it culturally appropriate if I say that?
I think it's okay if I say
Yeah, it. Okay, it's one of those things.
Okay. You can talk about your own.
Okay.
No, but I would say it's the biggest celebration. It's a few days of party, of festivities, and families get together. People travel. They go. It's like exactly like this. People, if you're living somewhere else, you travel. You go to see your family because that's a very important day in a religious way, and also because it's the moment that you really get to celebrate with your families. And I don't know. It's nice.
So, of course, being a Muslim, as you said, like Eid and the festival, what was the second festival you said?
They're called both Eid. One is Eid al-Fitr, which is the one the end of Ramadan, and Eid al-Adha, which is the big one.
Ah, okay. That's the bigger one. Because at least my understanding for in India, for example, also there are a lot of Muslims. It's like the Eid, which is after Ramadan, that's the biggest one. So maybe it's also a regional thing. I don't know if it's...
I think they're both kind of really big, but I would say that one of them, or at least how I feel that the preparation for that one is a bit bigger.
Because you are cutting the lamb, right? In the second one.
That's the one with the lamb sacrifice, with Abraham.
And the sacrifice is done by who? Guy? Like, is it has to be done by male or it's gender neutral?
It's
or...
usually, I mean, usually makes it the alpha male of the family.
Alpha male, not just any males. Okay.
It's like, for example, it was my grandpa, or then it would be one of my uncles, you know. It's like it's usually the father of the family kind of thing.
And is it conflicting for you? Because as you were telling me once that you are vegetarian because you don't like how animals get treated and things like that. And I know it's supposed to be recording about fun, but I'm very curious, how does that look like for you, considering like your entire family is basically once a year? Yes, thank you for saying that.
Thank you for bringing back those memories. That's really nice. No, I mean, of course, to me, it's a bit of a problem because it's like, I don't find it necessary to kill an animal for us to eat, but I also understand that it's part of an entire tradition or cultural, and it has a meaning. So for me, it's just that, well, I'm not eating my part, so I'm hoping that there's some little lamb saved somewhere. Because there's people like me who don't eat them. Yeah, but I don't know. It's just, it's a conflicted
place. Right. And do you think growing up, so you celebrated most of your Eids, both of them in Spain, I assume, right? And how was it like, because you still had to go to school or work or whatever, did it even felt like a festival?
Many years it didn't at all, because some years I would even have tests those days and I would be studying the days before. So my mom always tried to at least make that our home would feel like a small portion of Morocco.
Nice.
Like, you know, she would put like the right music and we would wear this traditional dresses, robes, whatever it's called. And, you know, we would get a present and she cooks all these Moroccan very traditional things, which are really good. And she's also a really good cook.
Not the best, but she's good. Okay.
It's like grandma goes first, mama goes after.
A second.
Like,
okay.
Close. No, but she would try to make all of these things so we would feel like we are part of it and we wouldn't lose it. And always trying to explain the why behind things, like, why are we doing this? Why are we celebrating that? So we would not feel completely disconnected. But of course, then you leave the house and then you go to work or you go to school and then you come back and you have a nice meal. But it's true that you don't feel like a festivity because you don't, you're not with family. You're not like doing what.
And what were your friends and colleagues, were they understanding of it? Like, oh, it's a big thing for Fatima. So like people are wishing you and et cetera. Was there?
Okay. It's like my friends and so on would always be like, so what do I have to say? And then you would teach them the phrase in Arabic and they would be all day like a parrot repeating it over and over again, which is always nice. And they're like, but, and a few times some of my friends, they joined, they would come to my place and then we would have the like some nice dinner together. And they would also like ask my mom, why do you celebrate this? So it was a nice thing because it was our mid kind of celebration of that. Mm. And we would bring other people that were completely not aware of that at all and bring them a little bit closer to us, which I think is nice.
And since you grew up in Spain, which is, I don't want to quote something wrong, but I guess it's a majority Christian country, still is, I guess, right? And so around this time of the year, during Christmas, you have a lot of days off and things. Are you, did you guys end up creating your own little traditions? Like, oh yeah, okay, should we use this time to do a festivity of our own? Because during Eid, I had exams or whatever, now is the time.
Not really, I mean, for my mom, Christmas time, as we are not celebrating really anything until the New Year's, is the time for like big cleaning of the house. Many years it's not fun time because it's like, this is the time that we're cleaning absolutely everything in the house. So it'd be like, I'm not sure I want Christmas. People are like in the street singing and the lights and we're like scrubbing. Like, this is not so nice. Can I be adopted by them?
But was there this little bit of this feeling, like, because you, that's what I've also heard from my other immigrant friends, like who moved to US, for example, and were from India, or in your case, like with parents with a different descent and living in a totally different continent with different traditions, and then family wants you to celebrate one thing, but your friends and everyone is celebrating something else. How was that for you?
Yeah, I think it's because, of course, your friends might invite you to their place just like for Christmas dinner for so on. And of course, I think as long as you, it's like your parents try to tell you, okay, so this is their religion, this is ours. It's like, it's okay, we can celebrate together, we can so on, but you need to have clear
boundaries
kind of thing. Okay. But it's interesting also because most of the people I grew up with were not religious people.
Okay.
So even if you ask them about some, what's the meaning behind this religious tradition or so on, they wouldn't know how to tell you. So it's kind of starts to be not really related to religion. It's just like a time of the year that they get together and they have dinner, some awkward family meetings and nice stories to tell you about the next day. So
and are there any festivals you would like to attend? Like, it does not have to be religious, does not have to have, can be any festival in anywhere in the world which you would like to attend.
As we, I think we were talking about this the other day, and and I would, and I know that Diwali was like, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It was, was like in November kind of thing. And I've always liked, I don't know, some love like lights and so on. And also because I think it's really related to art and people getting together and I don't know, the bottom idea of light feeding darkness or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, basically the, I'm not the best spokesperson on this topic, but yeah, basically it's the win of light over darkness, basically. And that's why you light your houses and everywhere. Like there are traditional lights, they are called diyas. So for example, I also, in Diwali, I bought some diyas and then you put on some oil. Traditionally it's mustard oil because that's what everyone uses back home. At least in the north where I am from, everything changes in India. That's why I always specify, because it's such a huge country. So region changes, tradition changes. But yeah, and then you have these cotton like buds there, which you put and then you light them basically. And traditionally these diyas are made out of mud. So yeah, it's like clay basically. So it's, yeah, it's like, your mom's, for example, like I grew up seeing my mom like washing these diyas, like when you get fresh out of them, the market, and there is this nice scent of Diwali almost in my head because of how diyas smell and what they represent and everything. And then on top of that, as a kid, of course, the most interesting part for me was the firecrackers, because it's the festival of life. It's also a festival of crackers, and that's the part which I was mostly excited about. And of course, you also put on lights and stuff like we have right now in Christmas here in Germany. Yeah, so it's actually, yeah, I think it's quite fun. And of course, there are awkward family meetings there as well, because everyone is meeting around that time of the year.
Yeah, I think the awkward family meetings, we can say, is a common denominator for everyone.
Exactly.
So that's a good thing. But that's a festival that I would love to attend, because I think the bottom line of the concept behind it, it's really, I find it really pure. And, but also I love the entire image and the light thing. And the crackers, I'm pretty sure I would love it.
Any other festivals, anything else comes to mind?
I also like very much, I don't know what's the name of it, but I think it's a Japanese festivity, and then they turn lights in this kind of paper made lamps that they put away, or they put in water. And it's like the time, I think it's the same idea than Dia de Muertos in Mexico, which is like the day that the dead come back and they want to put the lights for them to find their way home or something like that. So I think that those ideas are really nice, you know, to be able to, you know, remember the people that are not there with you anymore and do something to honor them. I think it's a nice, it's a nice thing. It's a way to celebrate life, but also death. So it's like that kind of balance. I think it's really interesting.
Oh, cool. So you like festivals with lights.
Yeah, I think that's the
bottom
line. Subject, lights.
Well, then that's it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for sharing like how you celebrate festivities with family, and how it was like growing up in a totally different culture where you are celebrating festivals which not necessarily understood by the people from there, and complexities around it. So thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Tell people who are listening, who are they talking to?
So you're talking to Michelle. So I'm originally from Ecuador, but I went to France for my studies, and I went to Canada for, and then I came here because I got an internship here. So that's what I am right now.
Do you like it?
I love it. But yeah, I'm pretty happy here. There are things I miss from my country, of course, and especially this time of the year.
What are you looking forward to here, though, at this time of the year?
Time of the year. So I guess Christmas, as everybody, chocolate, Santa Claus, trees, snow for sure. That's very new for me. In Ecuador, is like no snow at all. And it's not because it's a warm country. It is a warm country, but it's not like India, for example.
I mean, we're not entirely warm. My part of India is warm. Like it's practically desert, but like there are parts in India that are, they get heavy snow and stuff.
Really? Okay.
I mean, we are kind of close to a little small little mountain called Himalayas.
Of course. Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
So you're looking forward to Christmas.
To Christmas. Even if Christmas is not really I think Christmas is the same in most of countries and cultures.
At least the Western cultures.
Yeah, for sure.
What is something that is different, or some of the different festivals that you look forward to
this year
in Ecuador? Had you been in Ecuador, like throughout the year, which are the festivals you used to look forward to when you used to live in Ecuador?
So, well, starting with, since we are at almost the end of the year, right? The thing I for sure I miss the most is like, there is a festival called, it actually doesn't have a name itself. It's like the end of the year, but it's a huge party. Like everybody goes to the streets and burn things, and
it sounds like a purge.
Kind of. So normally there are these huge puppets made with carton or paper and clothes that all people may make, and you burn these things, hoping for the next year to be better. So normally you burn it with wishes, or like things that you would like to to burn mm-hmm. from the year that is.
And then the others?
The others, so starting in January, well, the first half of the year,
mm-hmm.
We have two festivals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first one is Carnival, which is representing, I guess, for the religious part, is representing the 40 days you have before the Holy Week. Mm-hmm. There's also the religious Catholicism Christian festival.
Okay.
So Carnival is crazy. Aside from the religious part, which I don't think people really care about, it's more like there are parades in the street and mm-hmm. people play with other people with water and eggs and flour and with stuff, and they just throw it to people in the street. Yeah, it's fun. It's very fun, especially when you're a kid. But then sometimes it could be a problem because, mm-hmm. yeah, there might be people that they don't want to play, but since you are in Ecuador, you kind of being forced to play, right? So there are people that will go to the office, and they will be, you know, all dressed up and everything, and then
yeah,
there will be a kid or somebody throwing things to people. Exactly. And I guess that's why the intensity of the festival like slowed down with time.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, what my dad used to tell me is that people used to play way rough than now.
Mm.
So like with mud and everything, and yeah.
Very analogical problems to what we have in Holi, or used to have in Holi in India.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the name of this festival again?
Carnaval.
Carnaval. Mm-hmm. So Carnaval. Okay, next.
The next one is, well, after these 40 days of religious stuff.
Wait, this festival lasts for 40 days?
No. The carnival is like for 1 week.
Okay.
More or less. After this week, but like the week represents the starting of these 40 holidays before the Semana Santa, mm-hmm. which is like Holy Week, which is also like the 7 days that, mm-hmm. You know, the Jesus thing.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't like this festival because mm-hmm. it's not really a festival. You are just, because Ecuadorian culture is very religious and very conservative in some aspects, mm-hmm. yet. And for example, you are not allowed to eat meat for like this week because, I don't know, I guess it represents like the flesh of Jesus. And yeah. That's why you're not like allowed to eat it in that week because it's a holy week, you know.
Mm-hmm. What's the one that you enjoy the most other than the carnival?
I think it's the end of the year, New Year's Eve. Year, okay. Yeah, because I don't know, it's more than having fun. It's yeah. also, it also has a meaning, right? So, and there are many little traditions also at the end of the year, like New Year's Eve, that that represents also something. It's very, what's the word for that? Like mystic, I guess is the word. Like people will do things like you will eat 12 green raisins,
mm-hmm.
and each raisin will represent a wish for the new year.
Mm.
Or like you will go, this one is funny, you will go with a backpack,
mm-hmm.
And walk around the street, and that will represent that in the coming year you will travel a lot.
Oh, that is, yeah, okay.
Or like you will wear I don't know, like yellow underwear, and that represents like you will have what's the word for that? You will have a good sex life in mm-hmm. the coming year or something like that. So people do these things, and it's fun because they believe it. And
sure,
yeah, you know.
Also, it helps sell the yellow underwear. So.
And also, there is all something fun that I used to really hate when I was a kid because mm-hmm. I didn't understand, and I still don't understand why they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But usually men
mm-hmm.
will dress up like women.
Okay.
And we'll go to the street to ask money.
Great.
So yeah. So normally people will block the street with like a cord or something for the cars, for mm-hmm. not allowing the cars to cross.
Mm-hmm.
And they will ask money. And normally the thing or the person they addressed up for is the wife or like the widow of the year that has gone by, like it's passing, because the year is finishing, so the year is dying.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but they assume the year was a male.
Okay.
So the wife of this male year is this woman, this we call it,
which is also played by a male again.
Yeah.
Because of
course. Yeah, of course. And they are called viuda, which is like widow in English.
Okay.
And yeah, that's something fun that guys do when it's New Year's Eve.
You also told me about this one festival about the sun, like if
there is this festival. It's a starting spring.
Mm-hmm.
People normally thank the god or sun.
Mm-hmm.
For the harvest of the year. So it's a traditional festival.
What's the name of the festival again?
Inti Raymi. So it comes from Quechua, the language of the Incas mm-hmm. that were situated in the area. I don't know how many years ago. it comes from traditionally from this civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so people have different parades and special dances for that as well. And they have offerings for the sun.
There is a lot of different festivals. So that's a colorful year, I guess.
Yeah.
If someone's visiting Ecuador for the first time, which festival and what time of the year would you recommend?
Okay. I think New Year's Eve is the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think, at least for me.
How's the weather?
The weather is, well, Ecuador is always between, well, or at least Quito, which is my city, the capital, is always between, 23 degrees, 25 degrees.
So pretty and, pleasant, all right?
Yeah, and the minimum will be 10 degrees, I guess. So it's not really cold.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, at the end of the year is the best time to Ecuador. If not at the beginning of spring, but that festival is not really fun. I mean, it's a traditional festival, but it's mm-hmm. more most of the time it's just parades. It's not like you have a party or something. Okay. Like that. Mm-hmm.
What is the, not just one, but maybe a couple of, if you have some festivals throughout the world that you would want to visit?
Ooh, I have many, and most of them are carnivals.
Okay.
I have the carnival in Rio de Janeiro.
Mm-hmm.
That I have heard a lot about, but have never been there. Mm-hmm. Even thought it, I'm so close to it. Like another one is Mardi Gras
in
the
US.
In the US, mm-hmm. So blues and jazz, like for a week or 2 weeks, that'll be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the carnival in Venezia, which is Venice.
Venice, okay.
Hmm. Oh, Holi.
Holi.
Okay. Holi for sure. Holi.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess those are the principal ones I can think about right now.
Perfect. Great.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Julia. Welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to talk about festivals and traditions in Germany. How does it feel to be representative of Germany on the show?
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I'm actually super excited to talk about my traditions. I hope I will do justice to it. We will see about that.
You want to introduce yourself quickly?
Sure. I'm Julia. I grew up in Germany, more specifically in the southwest, so in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm from the state that is called Bavaria.
Mm.
So most of the things I will talk about are also, of course, from this state.
Mm-hmm. So just to start with, what were some of your favorite festivals growing up? I assume maybe Christmas?
Yeah, so I would say Christmas for sure. Mm-hmm. I think just when you're a child with all the presents mm-hmm. that you get on Christmas, it's awesome. And it's also the time before is just really magical. So mm-hmm. we're doing a lot of things that I think a lot of Western countries do, like mm-hmm. baking Christmas cookies,
mm-hmm.
or singing a lot of Christmas songs, but we also have, for example, in whole Europe, this Christmas market. So markets where you have all these different huts where you can eat food and get drinks and buy some stuff. And there are so many lights, so it looks really magical. And yeah, then we have all these little events before Christmas. So for example, for us, compared to, for example, the States, Santa Claus doesn't come on the 24th, but it comes already on the 6th. So we already have this as a first event.
Okay. How does that work? So what does it mean that Santa Claus is coming on 6th?
So we don't call him Santa Claus. He's actually called Nikolaus. But he looks basically exactly like Santa Claus. And for us, he doesn't go down the chimney, but it's more of either you put out shoes on the night before on 5th of December, and then on the next day, your shoes will be full of sweets and everything. And but for some kids, so for us, on the 6th, always Santa Claus came to our house, which was always really exciting. So he always, he came and his companion came. So Santa Claus was always the good guy who came with the gifts. And then we had this companion called Krampus or Knecht Ruprecht, depending on where you live in Germany. And he's the bad guy. So he's the guy, he comes with a sack and you tell kids that for misbehaving over the year, he will put them in the sack and beat them. Never happens, but that's how you they scare the kids.
That's just how it's a little bit different in Asia, where kids actually get beaten.
Exactly. So we got just get scared. Yeah, actually in Austria they get beaten. So in Austria, I lived a few years in Austria, and there they have these marches with, there they call them Perchten, and they look a little bit like really scary creatures, more like werewolves walking around with their sticks, and they really beat kids with their sticks and everyone who passes.
So on the streets, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, crazy.
Yeah, so yeah, but our Krampus doesn't do that. So it he just scares the kids and gives them a warning.
Okay.
And then usually Santa Claus comes and he opens his golden book and talks about all the good things you have done over the year. And yeah, in the end you get gifts.
Okay.
For being a nice kid.
Okay, cool. So I hope you saw more Santa Claus as kid than Krampus.
We always saw both of them.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was really scared of Krampus, and I was an asshole kid who actually told Krampus that my brother didn't treat me nicely.
Nice. So. Is there anything else which comes to mind during Christmas? I guess naturally Christmas also, living in Germany, I realized like Christmas, the whole period of Christmas to New Year is kind of very nice, magical, with Christmas markets, everyone meeting each other, a lot of drinking, of course. So is there any other specific tradition around this time or for New Year's Eve you guys have in Germany?
Yeah, so for Christmas, there doesn't come anything up in my mind, I would say. But we have all these, I would say, more specific traditions during New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So, for example, one thing that we always do in Germany is called Bleigießen, so translated bleed pouring. So
you're pouring the blood?
the metal.
Got it.
But of course we're not calling we're not melting metal. Well, when I was younger, we always melted aluminium. And we usually, so we have little spoons, we put the aluminium on, and then we put it over a candle and let it melt, and then we pour it in a water cup. And then out of this hot aluminium there forms a little shape, and you take the shape out, and then you do fortune telling. So depending on what shape it has, like maybe a horse or an angel or whatever, you looked at either up on the packaging, so it has some already written there, or you looked it up online, and then you see what the next year brings to you.
Okay, so based on the shape, your next year is getting decided.
Yeah.
Okay.
So sometimes it's awful.
What was the prediction for last 2 years for Corona? Did you saw a virus floating on your cup? Okay, Christmas and New Year is something I think most people know, like around the world. Of course, it's interesting to hear about some very specific traditions, which even I did not knew about. Is there any other festival, like from the region you are from, or in general in Germany, which you want to talk about?
Well, we have so many different festivals. So some are more based on drinking. I think Germans just in general love festivals because that's a reason for them to get together and drink a lot, especially in Bavaria, because we have a lot of great beer here. Mm-hmm. So definitely when I talk about beer festivals, right. Oktoberfest comes into my mind,
right.
Which is actually from where I grew up, so from Munich. Mm-hmm. And we have all around Oktoberfest also these little Oktoberfests that mm-hmm. are called Dorffest. So that's more of the village festivals. They're kind of similar. So just basically also dancing on benches, singing songs and getting drunk.
Yeah. So let me paint the picture for some of you might have already been to Oktoberfest. If you have not been to a folk festival or Oktoberfest, so basically people are dressing up nicely in their lederhosen and their drindels in traditional clothes and basically drinking a lot, and the beer is also stronger, and then everyone is just going crazy, and this is like a big giant party. I think living in Munich for me, of course, as someone who did not grow up here but is living here for a couple of years, what I like is that you go there with your friends. It's a good way to bring all your friends together, but also family and also your colleagues. And there is like a one place where everyone is going and meeting. So that's something what I really like.
For me, it's also the singing all the songs. So for internationals, I think because it's all Germans or a lot of German songs, maybe you can't relate to it as much, but mm-hmm. I just love singing all this really Bavarian drinking songs together with my friends. And usually by the time they play and you stand on the benches and mm-hmm. sing, you're already completely drunk because you have to go already around no later than noon mm-hmm. to the tents. Otherwise you can't access them anymore. So you start drinking really early.
Yeah.
And for me, it was really cool because a few years ago, I worked at Oktoberfest.
Ah, cool.
So I always let my friends already get some spots at the tent, and after work I always went there to party for another hour.
Nice. I guess you made a lot of money during those days.
Depends.
Okay. So thanks for sharing about the festivals, and I guess everyone likes Oktoberfest because that's literally a festival to get drunk. Not sure if there are many festivals around the world where you are literally just getting drunk. So living in Bavaria myself, like I also know that around May, you guys have a festival. Like you were also telling me once about, it's called Maibaum, which I don't know anything about. It just seems very interesting, seems very Bavarian.
Sure. So we have this festival on 1st of May. Mm-hmm. It's actually a public holiday. So
like Labor Day, basically. Around the world, it's celebrated as Labor Day, 1st of May, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. So 1st of May is for us Labor Day as well, but it also is where we put up our Maibaum. Mm-hmm. So Maibaum is actually this pole you see everywhere in Bavaria, this blue and white colored pole with all these labels on it.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at the labels?
No.
So the labels basically, they represent, it's from medieval times. So they represent different labors, mm-hmm. what people worked. So you can see, for example, someone making wheels and someone baking and so on. Right. You can see that on the labels hanging on the pole.
And
what we do actually on 1st of May, or maybe I should start with what we do the day before.
Okay.
So we have some traditions. So usually in villages, we have these organizations of bachelors, mostly men. Mm-hmm. And they're painting actually these poles mm-hmm. and are taking care of them. Mm-hmm. And the day before, we have something called Freinacht.
Okay.
And we have usually several of these village or bachelor organizations, mm-hmm. and they're trying to steal the polls from each other.
Okay.
So they also tried it on the day before, and the organization that actually owns the tree tries to keep them safe, because when the other organization actually gets the poll, they have to buy them beer.
Ah, okay. So basically, just another way to get drunk.
Yeah,
like right. everything else.
we also celebrate Freinacht, so it's more you should get everything from your garden inside and everything that can get loose, because people will walk around and steal the stuff.
Okay.
And burn it.
Okay, but what's the reason behind it?
So if I know correctly, it's because they wanted farmers to not leave their shit around. So once a year, they should put it back and clean it up. Otherwise, you will steal it.
Okay. Nice.
But often people just misuse it and ruin actually people's mailboxes or cars, spraying everywhere, shaving foam around, or throwing eggs on houses.
Okay.
But we also have nice traditions, like, for example, people meeting up on the hill, making a bonfire, dancing around it, which is more related to, so that also comes from medieval times where it was all about witches. Mm-hmm. And that was the day where we actually burned witches.
Okay.
So dancing around the witch fire.
Okay.
Yeah. We have actually a lot of these festivals where we have bonfires and so on.
How does this, so is duck part of the witches and the bonfire? Is it connected to the tradition of these poles and like guys are stealing poles from each other? Is it like two separate things, or they're part of like the same festival?
Well, so it happens all basically on the same 2 days. So the witch fire is on the day before 1st of May.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, but so it ends up all in 1st of May, where they put up the pole, and you have everywhere benches around and people just watching how the pole gets put up and drink beer, like always.
Okay, sounds very exciting. Sitting there drinking beer. Oh, the pole is getting put up. Very exciting.
And then the old pole always... you can buy it. Okay. So people are betting for it.
Okay. Sounds a bit weird, but okay. I'm looking forward upcoming spring to sit down with my beer and look how the pole is getting raised. So what I wanted to ask you next was, are there any festivals around the world which you would like to attend? Like one or two festivals?
So in general, I would say, so I love experiencing other cultures. So I would like to see them all, but if I would have to choose, definitely Holi. I always wanted to go there even before it became like a popular Western festival thing, just because of all these colors. And I really like color festivals and festivals with a lot of light.
Right.
Really would like to go to some of the carnivals. I already have been to some carnivals, but I really want to check out the Brazilian carnival or the one in Venice, for example. Yeah.
Ah, cool. Nice. Yeah, well, for Holi, you should visit my hometown. It's insane, Holi. Like, it's really insane. But yeah, it's insane. Also, actually, in my hometown, we have a festival just in my city, which is called Ganga Mela, which I also talked about in the beginning of the show, where actually it has some relation to independence of India. And there... people are playing Holi for 7 days.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a big party, basically. But this is only specific to my city, actually. Yeah.
I heard that in Holi, you actually don't always just throw colors, but also sometimes food or other like dirty water and stuff. Is that true?
Well, it depends. Like, I think... So what you usually, definitely what most people are throwing is like either dry color or like, especially kids, they have like these water guns. Yeah, there are different type of machines, basically, you can say, which are designed to throw water at different angles. And it's always colorful water. And that's something I looked up to a lot. And then you have insane types of paint and stuff, which you can paint everyone out of, like from oil-based paint to like so many different types of things. And then you are also throwing balloons filled with colors as well, which hurts, by the way. So like people walking on the streets and you are literally throwing at them. And like, yeah, of course, if you go to some villages or stuff, some people are also doing some nasty stuff where they're throwing dirty water and things like that as well. Yeah.
Sounds so much fun.
It is. And it's actually a lot of loud music and yeah, a lot of people are drunk. And then yeah, it's a big party. Okay, so then thanks a lot for sharing your thoughts.
Could you guys please introduce yourself a bit? Like nothing formal, like just a little bit about yourself, one by one, please.
I am Molly, not so formal. I've been living in Germany since a couple of years. I met you at a party, actually, and I'm Egyptian. I guess after this is started getting formal, so you can go.
Hi to everyone who's listening. My name is Tito. I'm also Egyptian. I've come to Germany like 3.5 years ago, and I'm studying electrical engineering. So I'm from a technical background, and yeah, I don't talk like anything that's formal at all because yeah, I seriously hope that this is the first time you're listening to my voice and that you haven't heard the past parts, but yeah.
Or if they find you on internet in some other ways.
Yes.
No. Before I ask any further question, this is the first time we'll be having two guests at one time, so which is kind of exciting. At this point, you must have celebrated Christmas once or twice already in Europe, I assume.
Yeah.
Yes. What are some of the like important festivals in your country that you miss during this time, or even if you don't miss, you just like being there when that happens in your country?
Okay. So basically, in our country, it's like all of the festivals are also religious festivals, or like mostly.
How many do you actually have? Two?
You can actually consider Ramadan a festival.
Yes. Wait. Yeah.
It's a month-long festival.
It's a month-long festival.
Yes, the thing
it's
is
a very like, nice one.
Yeah, and there's like the whole thing where you like stay for like a whole month, you fast, and then it's not just the fact that you're fat, like there's like an atmosphere, like even we have like special TV programs. Every like this is like the season for TV for Egyptian TV programs.
Is
like,
it?
Okay. Yes, for all series.
If you're fasting, you need to kill time.
Yes.
So you watch like 10 series a day.
Yep.
Jeez,
and then you spend 8 hours, like after sundown, you spend 8 hours eating. And then you're shit-faced and you sleep, wake up, watch series, sleep again until you're allowed to eat again. So yeah, it's kind of lazy festival. Human version of hibernating, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, like that, like, okay, like this sounds not that, like the way Molly described it didn't really sound that good. But yeah, in all honesty, it's like, it really had its like its own cozy vibes, I would say.
All right.
But yeah, that was like a form of like a really cool festival that I miss here. Mm-hmm. But like if in general, like when it comes, like speaking of Christmas, like if you go around, there's like the Weihnachtsmarkt. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have.
I haven't been there this year, but yeah, I think it's really cozy as well.
Interesting. Okay. So that is festival number one, Ramadan.
There's like two festivals right after. There's like the one that, okay, that's right after Ramadan where you've like fasted for 30 days and you just go batshit crazy on the food. That's something. Yeah,
bro, literally it's called break fasting festival.
Wow. Okay.
The thing is, like, it's like I'd like to say that it's usually just eating food, but it's in reality just like most of the people just like get shithead, drug faced, all the time. Okay. There is an expression. Okay, it's the festival, and then, you know,
what do you call it in Egyptian or Arabic? Which name do you prefer? What's the name of this festival in which you break the fast that you just mentioned?
Eid al-Fitr. That's in Arabic.
Okay.
Yeah, basically Eid means like festival, and then Al-Fitr means break fasting.
Ah, okay. I didn't know this part.
kind of, yeah.
And the last one?
Eid al-Adha.
Okay.
This is the another festival where basically what happens is
it's a very non-vegan friendly festival.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will feel bad about the person I'm seeing because of this, because she's vegan. Okay, so basically what's happening is it's a whole religious thing where there's a story about a prophet who had the dream of killing his son. Okay. And back then it was like the
Abraham,
Lord. Yeah, exactly. The Lord. If you have a dream of something, you have to, as some sort of a prophet, you have to do it in real life. It's like a message from the god slash gods, or like that's was like the lore at the time. And so he had the dream of like him being ordered by the god to
kill his son,
murder him, like slay his, like cut his head. And so okay, so this is just me stating facts. I don't have any opinions.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I like to be controversial at times, but that's okay. I know this is for a fact, so that's okay.
Yeah, okay. So what happened was he tried, like the lore says that he tried to do that, like after like thinking about it for a lot of time, he was just like, okay, I'm gonna talk to my son about this. And he was like, hey bro, hey kid, okay, so we gotta do this, I've had a dream that we gotta do this thing. And he was like, oh yeah, sure, go ahead, if it's from the god then it's hell yeah by me. And then as he like got the knife to murder his son, or like to how do you say that in English? How
could
we say it? Sacrifice. Yeah, like his son was just gonna be like a sacrifice to the god. That was like the message because from the god back then to him.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So what happened was the knife actually strayed away from, like, okay, this is money.
Okay. People can see you on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, so. Right. Sorry, my bad. So yeah. back with the stories if you're listening. So yeah,
back to the fairy tale.
Okay, to my bros, the wearing white and having a very distinctive flag. I do not know who that dude is, and I do not want to be associated with it. Anyway, back to the story. So the knife would basically just like get straight away every time,
I didn't know this part.
No, the knife
I
would get
just threw away.
No. The knife would get straight away every single time. Like, he did that, I think, for like 3 times, and then God just. I don't know if the god like talked, like directly explicitly talked to him, or if just like what was it?
I guess he just flew away. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a sheep came from
the skies.
Yes, exactly. And then it was like, no, okay, you should slay that sheep instead of your son. And God was just testing your might, like your will, or like your faith, because like your son is like the most. The closest thing to your heart, and so it's against a father's instinct to harm his son or daughter or like offspring or whatever. That's why
to 2021,
exactly, that's why they have to sacrifice an animal, and like they just like slay the animal. It's mostly a cow or a sheep, and they just like feed its meat to the poor.
India we do it with a goat.
These like
for understandable reasons, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, sure, because sheep is kind of difficult to find. That's if that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Either way, so these are the three major festivals, and thank you for the behind story, because I have never heard of it in its entire glory so far.
You're welcome. Anytime. It's also for our lovely listeners as well, just to entertain them in their holidays.
Yeah, they all have different backstories, but I think in the end, they're all just what they all have in common is eating a lot of food.
Yeah, this is the best part.
Yeah.
So now the next thing would be that you have attended, or you have been a part of Christmas here. You've also been part of Eid and Ramadan, both the Eids and Ramadan for most of your life. What are some of the festivals that you would like to attend globally, that you have heard of, that you have seen on YouTube or anywhere, that you would like to attend one day?
I would like to attend the carnival at Venice. I think I once told you this already.
Yeah.
And there is the fest that I still don't know the name of, but mm-hmm. it's in Mexico anyways. And it's basically people going hell crazy on fireworks.
Okay. Interesting. You mentioned the carnival, that the week-long carnival. Is it in Venice or Vienna?
Venice.
Venice, okay.
Venice. I don't know, maybe they have their own version in Vienna too. Uh-huh. But the one I'm interested in is in Venice. They say it's so good.
And what about you, Tito?
I'm honestly not that much of a festival guy, but yeah, I've heard I don't know. I've actually never thought about this. Like, never have I ever thought about going to a festival or anything.
If someday we start tripping, we might go to a music festival.
If we start
also tripping. Known as tripping festivals.
It's actually a very good point.
Then
have you ever been to St. Patrick's Day?
In Ireland?
Yes.
No. Ireland doesn't come under Schengen, so.
Yeah, I would also like to attend this someday when I can afford the visa.
Yeah, so that's the same.
Or when I get the passport.
Wait, you don't have a passport?
Works.
Your story is also a bit interesting, and you're born in Brazil?
Yes.
What are the places that you have lived? Could you just walk me through that again? I'm sorry, you've done that.
no worries. I have to keep track of a list, but mm-hmm. So born in Brazil, in Curitiba, don't remember anything, to be fair. Mm-hmm. We left when I was either 2 or less than 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I said my first word there, and it was cavalo, which means mm-hmm. horse. And that's the only thing I know, very German girl thing, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. only word I know in Portuguese, nothing mm-hmm. else. But then we moved to Poland, and I was there for 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved to Germany. Mm-hmm. We're there for 2 years, went back to Poland. That's actually when I was there for 7 years, which is the longest stretch of time that I stayed in a place.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice, made really cool friends. And then my parents were like, oh, you have a great life here. Why mm-hmm. don't we move? And that's when we went to the States.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually turned out really well, because that's when I learned my English. And that's when I decided I wanted to study in England,
mm-hmm.
which, because, yeah, no, America is the way it is. And mm-hmm. also extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then we went actually back to Germany, but to a different part. So that's when I actually came to Bavaria,
mm-hmm.
because before we were somewhere in the north. And I lived in Augsburg, so an hour away from here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my German became a bit better, which is good, because I wasn't really able to speak
pretty much fluent German. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't that great with my German. So my father could finally talk to me.
Study in England, and now you're here for an exchange semester.
Well, yes and no, because before that we went to Slovakia.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I went to England and now I'm here.
All right. Great. Okay. So, what are you planning for this Christmas then? What are you planning for this Christmas?
This Christmas is actually the first time I'm going to be with my Polish extended family, because usually, as you said, we mm-hmm. celebrate in a smaller circle.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally we just have the Polish 12 courses. And mm-hmm. each course represents each month, and you're supposed to try a bit of at least each course, because
in a single day.
Yes, you have to. You eat so much. Polish people eat a lot. Thank God on Christmas you're not allowed to drink, because that would be a bit of a disaster. But yeah, so we eat a lot. And you have to, that's why you have to pace yourself, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of food. So when they say try a bit, they mean try a bit, because otherwise you're not going to make it through all the 12 months.
Okay.
So, but this year I'm actually going to celebrate with my grandparents, because mm-hmm. my parents are in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to go.
And how does that 12 meal thing go? Do you do it all at once in the evening in dinner, or starting from morning every hour?
Wish. No. What we do is we wait for the first star to appear in the night sky, mm-hmm. and that's when we start to eat. So pretty well in the evening, around around 6 p.m. or something like that. I think I don't know the concept of time, but yeah. So
it's all semantics anyways.
Yeah. So yeah, but that's when you sit down and all the 12 meals are basically already on the table.
That include desserts.
Everything. Okay. And you're not allowed to eat any meat, but fish doesn't count as meat, because mm-hmm. we're Christians. So you're not allowed to eat meat, but everything else is basically game.
So then you eat a lot, and it's actually, I mean, personal perspective, I don't like the food that much. I mean, it's traditional, and I know that when I'm gonna have kids, I'm gonna do the exact same thing, but it's not that good. It's heavy Polish food, and you have so much of it, and
But while growing up, was it, is it the biggest celebration with the family that you do? Is it the most important thing in the year?
So actually, it's interesting because for me, yes, like Christmas was the biggest thing. I always was like, oh my God, presents and everything. And but actually for my mother, Easter is the biggest thing. So apparently in Poland, Easter was a bit more like, Christmas is important too. It's like really up there. But Easter is the bigger thing for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why, but she got really upset one time when I was like, who cares about Easter? And she was like, yes, she was like, all of Poland does, Alex, your whole heritage does. And I was like, okay, never mind, I should maybe pay more attention in religious class.
But you have also grown up in US, right? A part of your childhood has also been in US, right? You
said, yeah, that, like 2 years. Yeah,
what was the most, did things change in the terms of celebration while you were there? Did other festivals become more exciting or important to you at the time, or Christmas still remain at the top?
I mean, Christmas definitely at the top. Americans know how to do Christmas. Like the way they just, they go overboard with, like, not overboard because I really like it, but they do so many decorations, so many things. It's just like peak capitalism in my opinion. but it looks really cool. But the thing is, in the US, like, we finally got into other things as well, like especially their costume parties, like Halloween is crazy there. Compared to Poland, and especially, like, I feel like Germans dress up even less. It's like, you don't, a Halloween party does not imply a costume party, and in America they take it extremely seriously.
Are you aware of any other cultures, any other countries in general, by the virtue of living there, because since you have lived in so many places, or just by reading or knowing, that was the major important festival that you would want to attend once other than Christmas?
Actually, there is one in Spain. I haven't lived in Spain, but it's just in Spanish class we talked about the culture and their festivals, and the one I would like to go there is called, I think it's called Tomatina.
Ah, La Tomatina.
Yeah, and it's just like throwing the tomatoes and stuff. But now that my parents live in Mexico, definitely Day of the Dead. Like the way they celebrate people passing over or remembering the dead, I feel it's just so much nicer than the way we celebrate. Like, we're just imposing this sad demeanor. And they're just like, come on, like, those guys have lived full lives, they're amazing. You still remember them, just hang out with them for a day, make their favorite food, I don't know, dance if you wanna. It's so cool.
Find a really thick silver lining in that.
No, honestly, because, like, I mean, we're gonna be sad anyway, you don't have to make it even more prominent.
Yeah, interesting.
Hey guys, this is Jeet from The Editing Room. If you made it till the end, hope you enjoyed our holiday special episode. This is an experimental episode. As you know, this is not our usual format. So we will be more than happy to hear your feedback, your suggestions on it. If you like such episode, do let us know so that we can create some more episodes like that in future. You can hit us up on social media at @info_under_the_radar on Instagram and @info_under_radar on Twitter. We are also active on LinkedIn. You can just search for Info Under the Radar. You can also find all these links in our show notes. So once again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a very Happy New Year. Quick note, we will be taking a 1 week short vacation, and then we will be back with our regular episode on 10th of January. So until then, enjoy your holidays.